Again, it's good to be here this morning, and again, please continue to pray that the Lord would be honored this morning. If you want to turn with me this morning, I'm going to be in several different places this morning, and instead of looking at the Word of God on a verse-by-verse basis, I want to speak on a subject this morning that it's a subject that I don't think I've ever spoken on specifically. I know that I've mentioned it in times past, but never had spoken on it specifically, so I ask that you would pray for me on that behalf, but also a subject that it's been on my mind for a while, and as I've been studying and preparing and trying to rightly divide what God's Word says about it, it's been a very convicting study for me as well. You know, every time we read God's Word, it ought to convict us, but for some reason, for me, this is a subject that's been very convicting in my heart as I've tried to prepare for this message over the last few weeks. And what I want to speak on this morning is the subject of biblical hospitality. And I want us to look this morning at what the Word of God says about hospitality. And surprisingly, as you study God's Word, it has a lot to say about how we as the Lord's people are to be hospitable towards others. And just to give a little bit of Primitive Baptist history, I think that this is an area that perhaps in times past has been a challenge. I know that I've read behind other individuals that have chronicled the history of the church, and just being a part of the church now for many, many years, I've seen the effects of what happens when God's people don't follow the biblical pattern of hospitality. I think what's happened, and I'm not just specifically saying here, but just in the general sense, I think what happens, probably with God's people in general, but I've seen it because of my own experiences in the church, is that we forget that God wants us to be involved in the lives of other people. I've witnessed churches that have closed their doors because of a lack of attendance, and that lack of attendance was brought on by a philosophy that said, well, if God wants someone to be in thus and so church, He will bring them to that church, and He's not dependent upon me whatsoever. Which, that's a fatalistic attitude, and an attitude that's contrary to God's Word, but that's an attitude that's been fostered. It's not only an attitude that I've seen sometimes amongst God's folks in this area, but it was an attitude that I noticed as I moved around traveling other churches, even in the far-flung reaches of our nation. There seems to be, I guess it's something with human nature, that it is difficult for us to connect with other people. And it's very difficult for us to connect with other people that are perhaps from a different background than we are. But some people have misinterpreted God's Word and said, well, you know, God has His elect, God has His people, and if He wants them in the church, He'll put them in there, and there's nothing for me to do on that part. And I believe that's bled over into the area of hospitality, and we'll define that in just a minute. But in the area of hospitality as well, I think that sometimes we get the mindset, and part of it may be a misunderstanding of what God's Word says, and part of it may be part of the culture that we live in, but we live in a time where many of us are just very reluctant to invest any time and energy into the lives of others, and especially other people that we may not be comfortable with. But what does the Word of God say about that? What does the Bible say about hospitality? Brother Michael, does the Bible say that I have to connect with people that perhaps I'm not comfortable with? Do I have to go against the grain? Brother Michael, I'm introverted and this is difficult. Do you mean I have to reach out to other people? Well, the Bible teaches us, yes, we do. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 for just a minute. And I want us to see this morning what the Word of God says about us being hospitable as disciples of Christ. Well, we're going to see that the Bible says it's very important, that it's going to affect our spiritual growth. It's going to affect our church's effectiveness and being a witness for Christ. It's going to affect how we approach the trials and tribulations and circumstances of life. But the Apostle Peter, he had a lot to say about hospitality. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 4 And again, as I'm reading this, I want us to understand the heart of God's word and how we can honor God in how we interact with one another. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, about verse 7, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things having fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Very familiar passage in Peter's writing and one that we probably hear quite regular, and it's oftentimes, and rightly so, associated with being charitable one towards another. But notice what Peter goes on and says in verses 8, and we'll read down to verse 9, and we'll read down to verse 10. He says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The Apostle Peter is teaching us here that we are to be a people that are hospitable. And it's also noted here, he gives a sense of urgency about it in this passage, doesn't he? He says here, "But the end of all things is at hand." Now, what did Peter mean by that? Was Peter saying, well, the world's going to come to an end in the next 10 days or in my lifetime or in the next generation? No, Peter wasn't necessarily referencing that the end was going to be tomorrow or the next day or 10 years down the road. And specifically what he was referring to is the coming of Christ. He was saying to God's people that the Lord is coming back soon. Now, there's a difference between the thinking that the Lord's return is immediate and the Lord's return is imminent. We don't know if the Lord's return is going to be immediate. It'd be nice if it was, but it's imminent is what Peter is saying here. He's saying the end of time is at hand, and there's some things that we're to be doing as God's people. He puts a sense of urgency on this, and he says one of the things that we're to be urgent about, that we're to make a priority, is using hospitality one to another without grudging. There are many commandments in God's word that have a sense of urgency about them. And this is one that I believe as God's people, we need to remember it is urgent that we follow this commandment. I was thinking about the subject of urgency as I was studying earlier this week. And, you know, sometimes things come along in life and there's not a great urgency about them. My wife has a list of chores. I call it the honey-do list that she wants done around the house. And my sense of urgency about that probably isn't as great as her sense of urgency about getting things done. I don't know what the problem is. It's only been a couple years with some of them. But there's some things in life we've got to be urgent about. I think about the birth of my children. I remember when it was time for my children to be born, and one of the children, I don't remember which one it was at this point, but my wife can tell you, but you know when it's time for baby to come. And I remember this one, whatever kid it was, we had gone to bed for the night and had been asleep for a little while, and Sarah wakes me up and says, the time's coming near. And we go back to sleep, and it was probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was a sense of urgency about what was going on then. Now, there's a couple of ways that I could have responded to that, and she may clarify the details. I could have responded to that without a sense of urgency, couldn't I? I could say, well, you know how I like my 7 or 8 hours of sleep. I know that you want to have this baby. You've been carrying this baby for some 9 months now. And just let me get a few more hours of sleep in. That wasn't the case with that. It was a sense of urgency. If I would have done that, I may not be here speaking right now. I want you to understand when Peter is saying that the end of all things is at hand, he is expressing a sense of urgency that we need to pay particular attention to. Now, when it's time for baby to come, we don't shape that thing around our lives, do we? We shape our lives around it. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about urgency. Peter is saying there's some characteristics here that we're not to just try to shape into our lives when convenient, when we want to do it, when it's easy for us to do, but we're to shape our lives around it. And hospitality, Peter says here, we're to use it one to another without grudging. Now, what does hospitality mean? Literally, it means loving strangers. If you go back home and look up the word hospitality, that's the literal definition. It means loving strangers. And Peter is saying here, that is one of the, or should be, one of the hallmarks for us as God's people. We're to use hospitality one to another. And he goes on in verse 10, it says, "And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Because of the grace of God, Peter is saying, we need to be ready to invest in other people. We're to be ready to not just bring them into our lives when it's convenient for us, but we're to shape our lives around being hospitable people. And I believe we can say now that this time until the time the Lord returns is similar to labor pains, isn't it? You know, we're here in this world, but we know that the Lord's returning, and you know, we have that time in between, and there's that urgency time. My friends, we need to be hospitable in this time the Lord has given us before He returns. And I want to say this, Peter is not just talking about when we gather together in the church house and just investing in that time with one another. That's important. I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that we receive encouragement from one another here in this place on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday evenings if you're able to be here. But Peter is talking about our lives being shaped around ministering to other people with the things that God by His grace has given us. I believe that's something that's important for us as God's people. And churches have neglected that for one reason or another, perhaps just our human natures. We know here that it's against our human nature because Peter puts in this disclaimer in here that we're to use hospitality without grudging. That tells me that our human nature, it goes against the grain of our flesh. We don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't like to step out of our comfort zone. We don't like to get ourselves in the situations where we feel like we don't have strengths and so on and so forth. But Peter says here, we are to do it. And it's important for us as God's people. Here's one of the primary reasons we should have a sense of urgency to be hospitable with one another. And we'll see, to be hospitable to people that we may not know or may not be comfortable with. Because we as God's children, we need one another, don't we? You know, you think about, I hope when you come to the Lord's house, it's an encouragement to you. It's an encouragement when the doctrinal truths of God's word is preached and proclaimed. It's an encouragement to you when we sing these hymns of praise and these hymns exclaiming the work of our sovereign Lord. I hope it's an encouragement when you're here fellowshipping with one another before we worship and after we worship when we have lunch. But I tell you, we need more than that, don't we? We need one another's encouragement. We need to be with God's people, not only on Sundays or Wednesdays, but every opportunity that we can have. Why is that? Because we need encouragement in this world. working in the educational field, the time after spring break into the summertime is generally some of the craziest times in schools for a multitude of reasons. Teachers are dealing with kids that have spring fever and they're ready to go home, and people are dealing with teachers who are burned out because they're dealing with kids with spring fever, and you're dealing with parents who's demanding and wanting this and wanting that, not happy with what you have to do, and we're in that season. I saw Brother Doug the other day. I was jealous for a minute. Brother Doug looked all happy and smiling and driving down the road. And I asked him, I said, "Do you miss this time of year in education?" He said, "No, he doesn't." He's going to go mow some grass. The grass don't complain very much. But it got to the point about the middle point of this week. You know, week before last was spring break, and this week was the week after spring break, and I had somebody calling and complaining the morning of the first day back from school. You know, they hadn't had time to be offended at school yet, but that's the way it goes. And I finally just, I was with some other folks that do what I do, and you know, other people, and we were commiserating about all of the difficulties and challenges, and I finally just asked the question: Is it always like this, or is this unusual? And you know, it just seems like you can't make anybody happy. And a couple people said, you know, it's always this way. It'll get better. And you know what? That was an encouragement to me. Well, as God's people, we are living in a sin-cursed earth. We understand that Christ's return is imminent, but he's not here yet. And this world keeps going, and all of the difficulties, all of the trials, all of the stresses of the world, they're going on. And one of the blessings we have when we as God's people follow his commandments, follow what Peter says, and we invest in one another's life beyond this place, it's a blessing to have someone else that shares your faith, that shares your beliefs in God's word, say, it's going to be okay. God is on his throne. You know, I think about individuals that are perhaps new to the faith. We need to invest in them. And you know, folks that are new to the faith, new to the church, new to the things of God, you know, they need people that have an understanding of God's word to be hospitable to them. Because here's what I fear happens many times in the world. You have somebody that the Spirit of God, their heart has been quickened by the Spirit of God. They love the things of God, and perhaps they come to church on Sunday. They come to church on Wednesday, and they're, for the rest of the week, they're just being beat about and buffeted by the world. And I think there's a lot of times those people are just left to themselves to fend for themselves, and that's not good for God's people. That's like at work. It's not good for me to just be isolated and not get encouragement from somebody else and commiserate with someone else. Peter says we're to be hospitable, for the end of all things is at hand. So let me ask this. Is it preferable for us, for an individual, for somebody who's been in the church and understands the truth, or even for somebody who's new to the faith, is it preferable for them to just be by themselves during the week, sit at home in the evenings by themselves with no encouragement, and suffering the effects of a sin-cursed earth, having no encouragement from someone else, having no one else by their side, or is it preferable for them to be partnered up with an individual that's invested in their spiritual growth and invested in them understanding that God is on his throne, invested in and taking time to help them through the inevitable trials of life? I think we know the answer to that question. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 27, I believe it's around verse 16 or verse 17, he talks about iron sharpening iron. And what is he talking about? He's talking about us being with other individuals. I believe it's iron sharpeneth iron, he says, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We need one another. And here's the wonderful blessing to think about when you're hospitable, when you're entertaining individuals in your home or in whatever capacity you can, and being with them, is that it has a benefit for them, but it has a benefit for you as well. I think oftentimes we flounder spiritually because we isolate ourselves and we don't have other believers, other people of like faith coming alongside us and just spiritually saying, it's okay, God's on his throne. You know, here you're going through this situation, but here's what God's word says. Peter says we're to have an urgency. The end of all things is at hand. Use hospitality one to another. Now, I want you to see as well as we go on that it's not an option, really an option in God's word. We may make it an option, we may think it's an option, but the word of God commands us to do it. Romans chapter 12, Paul was another one that had a lot to say about how we were to be hospitable to one another. In Romans chapter 12, the chapter where Paul, by the inspiration of God, says we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. He calls it our reasonable service. He would then go on and say, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's talking about us being different than the world. Notice what he says as we go on in Romans chapter 12. We'll start reading at verse 9. Again, highly practical things for God's children. He says, let love be without dissimulation. That means don't be preferential in your love. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, he says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. He's saying you're to put others' needs above your own and be affectionate that way. Verse 11, he says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. None of those are suggestions, are they? None of these say, well, if you feel like it today, you put others' needs above your own. No, these are commandments. And then notice what he says in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. What is he saying here as God's people? He's saying that it is a commandment for us to step out of our comfort zones and minister to other people in a hospitable manner. And I think what Paul is teaching us here is that as God's people, this is a commandment. This is not something that's an option that says, well, if you feel like you've just got everything right in your life, then you can be hospitable. This doesn't say, well, when you reach a point when you've got all of your ducks in a row at home and you don't have any stresses or have any trials in life, then you can be hospitable. No, this is a command for God's people. And it carries an emphasis here. He doesn't say that we should just be amenable to hospitality, that we should just think about being hospitable from time to time. And that's convicting to me. I think my hospitality oftentimes is when it's convenient to me, or when we perceive there are traditional opportunities for hospitality. You know, we think about the 4th of July picnics and maybe Memorial Day or Labor Day or something like that, or those type of occasions. But he says, we're to be given to it. That carries the connotation of being relentless in pursuing hospitality. The word picture here is like a wild animal chasing its prey. Paul says that's how we're to be in how we interact and how we invest in one another as God's people. He says we're to be given to hospitality. He says we're to do it, and we're to sacrifice doing it. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice in the service of God, we're saying it's not about me, but it's about other people. And then we go on. In Hebrews chapter 13, we get another. Very quickly, we get another lesson from the Apostle Paul about this. Hebrews chapter 13, what we're going to see here is not only is it a necessity, but it's probably something that just runs against the grain of our flesh, and it's really difficult for us to do. It's strange to our carnal natures. Paul says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, he says, let brotherly love continue. And then he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. What did we say the definition of hospitality was? It was loving strangers. In other words, loving people that perhaps we're not totally familiar with. Loving people that it may take us going out of our comfort zone to love. Paul says here that we're to be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Well, you look at that, what does that say? It says we are apt to forget to do this. Why is that? Because we have this flesh that we still battle with, but Paul says, don't be forgetful. And I'll say, that is not a normal, for most people, that is not a normal course of action to want to entertain strangers. It's against our grain. I believe as a Western culture and where we are today, it's totally against our grain. Because how do we live our lives in this world? You just think about it for a minute. What's the normal course of action in our lives here in the United States of America? Well, We probably get up. Most of us probably get up and go to work. We do whatever that work is for the day. And what do? We end work and we go home. We drive under the carport. We drive in our garage. We close the door and maybe we spend time with our families. Maybe we eat dinner and then we go home. That's probably the normal course of action for most people in our world today. But that is not the pattern that the Bible says. Living in our culture, it is easy to forget to entertain strangers, to be hospitable, to invest in the lives of other people. It goes against our grain. You say, well, I don't have time. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. Well, I understand, but Paul says here that we're not to forget to do this. And it's a wonderful blessing that comes along with it, because what does Paul say after that? He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why is that? He's going to say, because there's a blessing when we do it. He says, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, we could spend a little bit of time of digging into that, but what we can see on the surface is there is a great blessing when we step outside of our comfort zone and minister to other people. Now, we can look at that in the spiritual sense, and I've experienced it, and probably you have too. Have you ever had a situation where you were practicing hospitality and you were anxious about it, and you went through the whole process, whatever the process was, to do it, and perhaps you were tired, perhaps there was stress about it, but then you do it and God blesses you? You know, you have somebody over in your home and it turns out being a great blessing. You know, there's that, I believe, a spiritual application of that. There's blessings in that. But I'm just going to take the Bible on its surface as well and say that there's times where God gives extra special blessings, because we have a biblical example of that, don't we? I think of Abraham, and probably what came to mind, remember Paul was writing the Hebrew letter to predominantly those Jewish converts that had converted to Christianity. I believe what came to mind to them was the literal situation in Genesis chapter 18 when Abraham entertained strangers. Remember in Genesis chapter 18, let's turn there for just a minute. We've got time to turn there this morning. Genesis chapter 18, this is the time of Abraham. Bad things were about to happen. Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed. But we have going on here, the Lord, verse 1, chapter 18 and verse 1 of Genesis, said the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, who he's talking about, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And verse 2, and he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And it says, when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. Abraham was going to have an opportunity to show hospitality to strangers. Here were some men that he had never met before. And how does Abraham respond? Does Abraham turn them away at his door? Sorry, guys, this is my day off. This is my day of relaxation. You guys come back tomorrow. Get with my secretary and schedule an appointment and come back later. No, what happens? Abraham goes into a hospitality frenzy, doesn't he? We see that he invites them in. He instantaneously offers them water. He starts gathering. He goes and gets some bread. He tells Sarah, you go and make some bread. Make some cakes for these guys. Take the tender calf. Get some steaks going on. He goes into a hospitality frenzy. And what happens? There is a great blessing in it, isn't there? Well, what happens? Well, we see that these three men come to him, and these were angels that were being entertained, entertained angels unaware. And what did they do? They reiterated God's covenant with Abraham. Do you not think that was a great blessing to Abraham? Do you not think that was a great blessing to Sarah? This reminder that the Lord is going to bless them, This reminder that the Lord was going to make of them a great nation, that the Lord was going to short circuit the normal course of things, and bless them with a child. They exercised hospitality and God blessed them greatly. Here's the wonderful blessing. We step out of our comfort zone and invest in people that perhaps we may not know that well, people that are new to the faith. When we open up our homes and open up our lives and show love towards them, it's a blessing to them, but it's a blessing to us as well. Paul says, don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. And again, there's emphasis on this term, strangers. It's easy for us to entertain people we're comfortable with who look like us, who come from different backgrounds, but we need to be, as God's people, ready to reach out and entertain those that may not be so comfortable to be around. Sometimes people can be difficult to be around because they're difficult people. Paul says that we're to be not forgetful to entertain strangers, individuals that come from different backgrounds. Again, this goes against much of what we have been taught in Western culture. And I'm not telling anybody to be careless in how you do things. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But let's not miss out on an opportunity to minister to someone that God has put before us because we're just simply not comfortable with it. He says, don't forget to do this. Abraham was reminded of God's covenant. Now I want to tell you, this is something, you know, that, again, being real convicting to me. This really goes against the way things are done in our society today. How do we oftentimes look at strangers? We may not say it out audibly. I hope you don't. But if we're honest with ourselves, how do we look at individuals that are strangers to us? Do we generally have the great attitude of, oh, here's someone that I can share what God has done for me with. Here's somebody that I can tell about the doctrines of grace. I can tell about the wonderful blessings that God has given me. Or do we look at them with suspicion? I tell you what happens to me. I can remember as a child, and again, please don't get me wrong, but as a child, we're taught to never talk to strangers. Now, kids, be safe. Parents, be vigilant with your kids. Don't go away saying that Brother Michael said, throw caution to the wind. Don't do that. But are we to never talk to strangers? Well, if we understand what God's Word says, He's saying here, as we have opportunity to minister to other people and invest in them and encourage them in the things of God, that we're to not forget to do that. And there's great blessings when we do this. I don't know about you, but again, that's just convicted me this whole week as I've thought about that. You know, you just think about the everyday opportunities with people that you work with, maybe people in your neighborhood. How many of you know all of your neighbors around you? How many people, people you see every day at work, you interact with every day at work? How many times do we, just for the sake of convenience or for the sake of preserving our own comfort, we just say, I'm just not going to invest the time? The Bible says that we as God's people are to be hospitable and entertain and for the sake of Christ invest and minister unto others. If we're going to be the light and the testimony that God commands us to, we've got to go against the grain of society and do this. But here's the most wonderful blessing as well as we go on. You know, those things, they've convicted me. You're saying, well, Brother Michael, he's throwing the guilt trip on us this morning, and I'm convicted too this morning. Well, here's a wonderful blessing that goes beyond that. We've looked at what the Bible says. Peter has said you ought to do this. Paul has said you ought to do this. If we go to Romans chapter 15, we're going to see why we do this. Don't go away and commit to try to be more hospitable because you feel guilty about it or because of something I've said. But here's why we are to do that. In Romans chapter 15, we'll read several verses here. And again, you'll notice these are all very practical places in God's Word. But notice, verse 1, Paul says, Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." And he says, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant that you be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is saying here that you're to bear the infirmities of the weak. Please your neighbor, build up your neighbor is what he's saying here. He's saying here that we're to follow God's word and with patience and hope. He says you're to do this. That we may glorify God. But notice what it says then in verse 7. He says, "Wherefore receive ye one another." Okay, now what does "receive ye one another" mean? It means to show hospitality one towards another. And why do we do that? The big why this morning, why are we called to do that? Why am I called to make myself uncomfortable and entertain strangers? Why am I called to invest in the lives of other people when my life is so busy, when I don't have everything together? The simple statement is, Paul says it right here, "Wherefore receive ye one another," notice, "as Christ also received us to the glory of God." It's not about a guilt trip. It's not about forcing someone to do something that's out of their comfort zone. It's about doing it because here's what happened. God has done it for us. And here's the wonderful blessing. When we are hospitable towards others, when we entertain strangers, as the Bible says, we are showing a picture of what the Lord has done for us. You ever had house guests that were just terrible house guests? Don't start naming names or anything. It happens, doesn't it? Maybe I've been a bad house guest. Maybe you've been the person. If you don't know of anyone that's ever been a bad house guest, you might be that person. I don't know. But you talk about the least deserving of any hospitality at all, any favors, any blessings, any attention, any time from God at all. It was me. It was us. And in light of that, the Bible says that we as God's children have been received into, he says, received us to the glory of God. The ultimate divine act of hospitality was God choosing us in Christ Jesus before the world was made. We've been welcomed into his family. And oh, what a wonderful act of hospitality that was. He says we're to do this. We're to receive one another. We're not to just avoid one another except on Sundays and the occasional holiday. He says, no, we're to receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. If anyone ever had the right to not exercise hospitality, it was God. It was the Lord. He would have been right and good and just and saying, no. This is a sinful group of people. Let them die in their sins. Let them go to hell. But that's not the case. Paul says here that we are to be hospitable towards strangers because when we do that, we show the hospitality that God has manifested towards us as his people. He sent his son to lay down his life for our sins. That is an awesome act of hospitality, isn't it? Notice Ephesians chapter 2. Along the thread of what God has done for us and the greatest act of hospitality, Paul says this to us as God's people. He says in verse 19, he says, "Now therefore," he's speaking to us that are in Christ Jesus, he says, "Now therefore are ye no more strangers and foreigners." What are we apart from the grace of God, apart from the Spirit of God dwelling within us? Well, it says, the Bible says, we're strangers. We're foreigners. Strangers to what? Stranger to the things of God. Foreigners to the household of God. He says, now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. If that isn't hospitality, I don't know what is. And of the household of God, and he says in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God has welcomed his elect with open arms through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And now he's saying that we ought to do that as well. We are commanded to do it and accept one another, accept others as we have been made accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He said, he goes on and says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Hospitality means that we step out of our comfort zone and we minister to others of God's people that are seeking the truth, those that are new to the faith, those that are seeking spiritual answers to their problems. And we're to accept them and encourage them and minister unto them as we have ability. Paul says that has been done for us. It's a picture. God has done this for us, and we as his disciples, we are hospitable because of that. And when we do it, it gives God's people that are seeking the truth a wonderful visual of the nature of God. I'm thankful that God is not a miser. I'm thankful that God just didn't shut the door and say, well, I got the world started and now it's up to them to get it all figured out. Some people believe that. God just didn't wind the clock up and clock of time and of the earth and just step aside. I'm thankful that that's not the case, that he still ministers and blesses us in the here and now as well. My friends, he calls us to do it as well. Now I want to think for just a few minutes, just going even more practical. You say, well, wow, that's a lot to consider. That's very convicting. I want to follow in the footsteps of the Master and do this. But how do I do this? Well, there's a few things that come to mind when we do this. Some attitudes, some actions that we have to have that I believe are supported by Scripture. And one of the primary things, I think probably one of the primary obstacles, when we think about hospitality, we think about having people in our home, don't we? Having a meal with people, having people over to cook out, having people over to just be with one another. I think one of the biggest things that we have to remember as God's people, if we're going to be hospitable, if we're going to follow the biblical commandment of hospitality, is it's not about me, but it's about other people. We have a saying in our house that none of us have perfected. I'm going to confess that. I've not perfected it myself, but we have a saying that we try to go back to. It, I guess you could maybe call it a family motto or whatever. But we very regularly, probably on a daily basis, we remind one another in some capacity that we are to put focus and value on people over things. We're going to fight over toys. No, we're going to put people over things. As I got to thinking yesterday, I believe that's the case with hospitality as well. We have to remember we want to put people over things. Because if I'm being honest with myself, one of the great barriers that I have to being hospitable is that, you know, I don't think what I have, I don't think the resources I have is good enough to be hospitable towards other people. What usually happens when you're going to have people over? Well, you get in a frenzy trying to get everything just right in the house, don't you? I've jokingly said, and we've joked at the house, that the best way to get the house good and clean is to have company over. You dust and pick up and clean and straighten up in places that you wouldn't think of if you don't have company over. But I want to say this. and being hospitable towards other people, don't worry about those things. Because we let that be a barrier, don't we? Well, I don't have a nice house like so-and-so. I can't have company over. Or I don't have enough bedrooms, and we haven't had time to dust, and the kids just keep throwing everything out. I know those are the things that come to my mind, and they become barriers, but what we have to remember, hospitality is not about me. What we need to do is not worry about the dust on the shelf, not worry about the toys on the floor, and just reach out and minister as we have opportunity. Our house doesn't have to look like the cover of Better Homes and Gardens to minister to other people. Because what's really happening when we do that is that are we thinking about the people that we're ministering to, or are we thinking about ourselves? Well, what are they going to think if they see dust on my shelf? What are they going to think about me if they see toys on the floor? What are they going to think if they see weeds in the flower bed? Well, ultimately, it's selfish behavior, but what we have to do in being hospitable is that we have to just focus. God has commanded me just to be with other people, and He's blessed me with a house, and I may not have everything, you know, everything that everybody else has. I may just have just a little bit, a little shack, but I'm going to use what God has given me and trust that He will bless. That's what we have to do. You know, what happens a lot of time is that we serve our home, we serve our things more than we serve people, and we just have to at some point say, I'm going to put the focus on people. And what that means is that you're just going to have to say, come and love me and be with me, dust and all. You know, you can, and I've learned, you could either have a museum type house and a Magnolia Journal type house, or you can have a house where people can come and be comfortable and everybody enjoy themselves. But I want to say this as well. This isn't just a message for people who are just established in their lives and have all their ducks in a row. You can be hospitable in whatever season of life you find yourself in. Young people, you can be hospitable to others. What does that mean? Well, that means maybe being a friend to someone who doesn't have a lot of friends in this world. You can show the love of Christ by just being a friend to somebody. Teenagers, you can be hospitable. Some of the greatest blessings I had coming up and growing up in this church was with other young people who were hospitable, that just wanted to go out and do things together. It was a great blessing to be able to come up in that. I want to tell you, whatever season of life you're in, you can be hospitable. I think of young moms. We've kind of moved out of that season of life now, but young moms, you can be hospitable. It might mean that you're being hospitable while you're taking kids on the play date or taking, you know, visiting out in the school parking lot or something like that. Folks that are single, folks that are just starting out in life, just use whatever opportunities God gives you, and just be with one another, minister to one another. God will bless in that. And also, we need to understand that hospitality is something that we have to specifically practice. Now, here's what happens in my life oftentimes. I'll see somebody and I'll say, you know, we really need to get together sometime. We need to go have lunch. We need to have you over for supper sometime. We just need to get together sometime. And 9 times out of 10, what happens? We just keep talking about that. We need to do that. We really need to do that. Well, we need to get specific in our hospitality. Next time you have the inclination to say, well, we just need to get together sometime, what you need to do is say, well, next Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening, you be at my house and we're going to have supper. We have to plan to be hospitable, don't we? And it takes effort on our part. So we need to work on being specific. You know, and I believe we're all well-intentioned. We say, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. But we eventually, you know, we do that, we never do anything about it. So we need to plan to be hospitable. So I encourage you to practice. Someone that you've been wanting to reach out to, just say, my house, 6 o'clock on Thursday, we're going to have a meal. We're going to visit together. We're going to fellowship together. As you have opportunity, spontaneity is all right as well. You know, it's okay if you're cooking dinner and you have somebody on your mind and you call them up and say, hey, I've cooked meatloaf. I have extra meatloaf. We'd love for you to come and eat with us here in 45 minutes from now. That's okay too. Not everybody's going to want to do that, but it happens from time to time. And perhaps God's putting someone on your heart to go and minister to. We need to do that. We need to, as God's people, not be so rigid, so protective of our little cocoon of life, and reach out. You know, I hope that we're intentional of trying to spend time together with our families and specific time with our families. And your life might be of such where I have this day, that I'm going to always eat supper with my family. I'm protective of that. No, we need to be ready to reach out to the family of God and be intentional about hospitality and say, hey, you know, we've got a meal here. We'd love for you to come and join us and eat with us and spend that time with us. You know, here's the great thing, too, is as we think about hospitality, you may be panicking and hyperventilating and saying, my goodness, you don't know everything that I have going on in my life. The wonderful thing is we can integrate it into our lives the way they are, can't we? We're all going to eat, aren't we? You know, we're all going to sit down and eat supper at some point. There's a great time to be hospitable. Again, it doesn't have to be perfect. You could just say, hey, I'm passing by Little Caesars. I'm going to buy a few $5 pizzas. Come over. We're going to eat junk food pizza, but we're going to be together. It doesn't have to be a big ordeal. But we need to be intentional. We need to be specific about it. And again, going back to what I said earlier, we just need to love strangers. We need to love those that God has put in our life that perhaps we've not spent a lot of time around, but God has given us this opportunity. We just need to love them, because this world is just a tough place to live for a child of God, born again by the Spirit of God. It's a tough place for us as God's people who hopefully have some understanding of God's Word and some understanding of who God is. We just need to love folks as we have opportunity. You know, again, what hospitality, it shows us what God is like. And I want to tell you, I think that we're living in, you know, culturally speaking, probably the most isolated of times that has ever been in this country. You know, you think about that, and I don't make that statement lightly. I've thought through this statement. You think about way back in the, you know, in the 1600s and 1700s, when folks were coming over the Atlantic and settling this area, those were isolated times. You would come out and leave your home and move to a new land and live isolated. As expansion in this country went west, people would go out into the frontier, and those would be lonely, isolated places. You know, just 100 years ago here in this area, people were geographically isolated. You would get in the horse and buggy. It would take you a day to go from Sanderson to McClenny, and you had these communities that were isolated. But what you see is as you study those times and study the history and study how people interacted with one another, they probably had more meaningful contacts and communication than we do today. With the automobile, with the internet, with instantaneous communication, what you see, their lives were probably more fulfilling in those small groups because they reached out to one another and invested in one another. I was laughing. I was looking at some of my grandfather's old paperwork from a family reunion, and somebody had gone back and done the genealogy of the Davis family. My great-grandmother was a Davis, and I laughed. I was looking over it with my mom, and all of them grew up out in that area, and it went back to the early to mid-1800s, and what you found was that there were folks, that families that were marrying into each other in every generation. There were Greens marrying Davises, and the same people were marrying, and I joked about that, and I thought, well, that explains a lot the way we are today, but they were isolated geographically, but they had full, rich, meaningful lives, and they probably didn't suffer the amount of hopelessness and despondency that many have today, because though they may have been geographically isolated, they invested in one another's life. They slowed down and they shared meals together. They sat on the front porch together and just visited. That's one of the fondest memories I have of my grandparents, was that they spent time on the porch. They had visitors that would come in and sit on the porch. People would stop on the road, pull in. They would just visit. One of my grandfather, one of his favorite sayings was to come sit down and tell me something. you probably remember him saying that. That's hospitality, my friends. And that is sorely lacking today. But here's the wonderful blessing: as God's people today, we can stand in stark contrast to the world and show Christ in just doing that. As we have opportunity, reaching out to someone and saying, come and sit with me. Let's just visit for a little bit. What's going on in your life? Oh, here's how God has blessed me. Come on in. We don't have much. All we have are the hot and ready pizzas. But come on, we're just going to spend time together. Peter says we're to do this. The end of time, all things is at hand. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. We show Jesus Christ our Lord. We show Him to others. We manifest Him in a visual manner when we step out of our comfort zones and do that. And I can't help but wonder, how blessed would we be here at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church in this isolated world that we live in today, as the world gets more and more isolated, as it closes in on itself in just every conceivable way, that we stand out and say, no, I am going to be bold enough to put self aside and minister to individuals, be willing to spend my time with them, be willing to share my resources, however little they may be ready to share them with them. What a great blessing and what a great opportunity that would be. As the world gets more isolated, we become more hospitable. And I want to tell you, my friends, it doesn't involve having the greatest things in the world. It just involves using what God has given you by His grace and just reaching out and loving each other. What a wonderful thought. What a great challenge that we get from God's Word to love strangers, to be intentional about practicing hospitality, to whatever season of life we're in, that we're intentional about reaching out and making godly connections with other people and integrating it into our everyday activities and focusing on other people. I believe that God will bless us even in 2019 if we're faithful to do that. Appreciate your good attention this morning. I want to publish an open door to the church this morning. Brother Jay, would you find a hymn, brother? We'll sing song number 393. If you've been blessed this morning, I encourage you. Again, we have the greatest example of hospitality and what the Lord has done for us. And we're hospitable here in this place. And if you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, we encourage you to come forward and be baptized and unite with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.